each one having prepared as diligently as possible to the time given to them before the witching hour, the hour of reckoning, the time when they begin outdoor cartoon television. Stray Casts is on the air.
It's Wednesday night. We just got paid, and it's time for Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television.
You get paid on Wednesday?
Yeah, we do now. We do now. Hey, I'm Pat Renwick. Whoa, look at that. It was a half breed of a studio audience.
You right got a there. Half clap.
Yeah, it was a half clap for me. Hey, right over here to my right, speaking of the full clap, he's got the full clap right here. This is my friend.
Take it easy.
Yes, this is my friend right here. This is the one they call the popcorn. This is Ryan Whitaker right here.
Hello.
Yeah. All right.
I'm feeling good.
To my left, exuding with awesomeness, he is a reincarnation of an Egyptian feline.
Yeah.
Say hello to El Gato. This is JP. Hi, JP.
What up?
Yeah. Hey, this is the biggest little show on the web. Did you guys know that? This is the biggest little bass fishing show on the web.
Yes.
A-list bass fishing celebrities every week.
Every week.
Right here on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. Today, we're bringing you from Holt, Michigan, we got Chad Pipkins coming on. Yeah, Chad.
Yeah.
That's Chad. That's the Pipkins Longstockings. He's coming on. And from 96. 96 what, JP?
Fishing.
96 South Carolina fishing.
Oh.
The one, the only. The guy who has done it all.
97 Angler of the Year.
97 Angler of the Year.
1999 Best Western Classic Champion.
South Carolina. This guy is a historian right here. Davey Hike coming on the show. 7:30. And wrapping things up tonight, after Davey Height, we have our very own Popcorn Whitaker talking a little bit about the fall feed bag.
We're going to extend the season.
Yeah, the old feed bag. We got a feed bag of popcorn coming at you.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Not so much feedback.
All the pros are here every Wednesday night. Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. Hey, what do you say we get right to the goodies? Let's get to the good.
We've been doing that. You like doing that now.
I do, because I want to just get right to the chase.
You want to get right in.
Yeah, I want to get right into
cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase of the good. Ryan, who won the 1976 Bassmaster Classic?
Rick Klun.
Boom, there it is. Stray Cast, Outdoor Cartoon Television. Don't go nowhere. When we get back, Chad Pipkins coming at you live.
Slayer Reel Tuning is Chicagoland's number one reel tuning expert. Whether you need your reel tuned up, souped up, or basic maintenance, Ben Botcher, the Reel Slayer from SlayerReelTuning.com, has your reel needs covered. Ben is the official reel tuner of Stray Casts, and he can customize your reel to your exact specifications, like U-ball bearings, drag washers, clean reels, and the latest and greatest handles. When it comes to reels, go to the best and contact Ben, the Reel Slayer, and get your reel tuned to perfection and back in no time. Go to the website, SlayerReelTuning.com. That's SlayerReelTuning.com.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother,
Welcome back, Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. You know, wait, what is that? That's not Davey Height. Well, you're supposed to be producing the hell out of this show. It's that is not Davey Height right now. What is wrong with these
is
people?
Is that Davey Height's song?
Chad, I'm trying to give you a grand introduction, and they're I don't know what the heck these guys are doing over here.
Are you disappointed?
No, I am ecstatic that, ladies and gentlemen, we are bringing to you right now from Holt, Michigan, Chad Pipkins. Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
He was disappointed in the wrong song being played.
No, that I wanted that Danzig song.
Well, what happened?
Yeah, that's that's what we picked. But welcome, dude. It's great to have you on the show, man.
Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, we're going to start things a little different today, okay? We're going to go right to viewer questions for Chad Pipkins. Are you ready?
Go ahead, and I'm ready to roll.
Okay. All right, here we go. Pat, please ask Chad if it's true that those visors that they sell at truck stops with the hair on the top of the visor are actually Chad Pipkin's Signature Series visors. Is that true or false?
If it was, you know, I'd be making some big bucks. I need to get on that.
You really should. I mean, because they're kind of ripping you off, man. I mean,
you know what? I think you're right. I think we're onto something. We need to get rolling with that. We can split it 50-50.
Cool, because I am an idea man. I am a self-proclaimed idea man.
He's Brandon Palahniuk's manager.
Yes, I am Brandon Palahniuk's manager, too. Manager to the stars.
That's who I travel with. He must be holding out on me.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk. We'll talk more after.
He doesn't really know that he's his manager.
Right. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it's funny that I say that so much that people really ask Brandon if I'm his manager, and then he just laughs in their face. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But welcome to the biggest little show on the web.
That's good. Biggest little show.
That's the biggest little show on the web right here. wait, are you guys going to fix the thing? I can't have people thinking that Chad Pipkins is Davey Height.
Oh, yeah. I see.
The viewers are thinking that Davey Height is morphed into Chad Pipkins. There we go. Now, thank you very much.
There it is.
That's how you produce the hell out of a bass fishing web show.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Asking you shall receive.
Okay, now we got this underway. Hey, Michigan, man, you guys are getting the same kind of warm weather that we are here in Northwest Indiana, Chicagoland area. It's been
awesome. It's like 60 today, supposed to be 68 on Friday, and then if we go downhill quick.
Have you still been fishing or what?
Yeah, a little bit. I grind, man, in the fall. I run a little paint business, too. I've had a paint company for 7 years, so I've been painting a bunch of houses and then taking some people out, sponsor fishing stuff on Lake Erie, Lake St. Clair a little bit when I get a chance. So.
How's the bite on St. Clair right now?
The bite on Lake St. Clair has been unreal. As far as the big smallies getting these grass holes, and they just chew for a couple months. I don't get out there as much as I do, like, the mouth of Lake Erie. And that I had a lot of fun there this October. We had some good days. They just get up there and feed, man. They all eat shad. You can just catch them cranking. And when they get there, they load up, and it's a blast.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Are you throwing that A-rig at them at all?
I don't mess with that. We can't throw it anywhere. So I be honest with you, I don't even have one now. I had one when they first came out and sent them all packing.
Good man.
And it just snapped off. You made a bad cast, and that's what happens to when you're throwing those gym shoes on hangers. They snap off a lot of times.
She's gone.
It's gone. Nice. You know, your claim to fame has been chasing these brown fish, hasn't it? I mean, are they your favorite, dude? I mean, is that a silly question? Are they your favorite or what?
Hands down my favorite. I mean, that's what I grew up doing. As far as, you know, we don't have a lot of places to go flip and do. We've got a lot of great fishing in Michigan, but not a lot of the fishing that's down south. We have the most phenomenal smallmouth fisheries in the world up here, and a smallmouth is a smallmouth, and you kind of learn the stuff they like and how they eat and how they, you know, position at different times of the day with different weather. You can apply that other places, and it's helped me out a lot and kind of hopefully jump-started my career a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt you've done very well in your home state. You've made a bundle of money. And that's not too shabby. I mean, you probably made more, like, my stats say that you've made about $500,000 in Michigan. So is that
the funny thing about those stats is nobody knows what you put in it. So you make a $500,000, you spend about $586, you know.
So you're negative 86, but you're positive from the painting business. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's, we're kidding about that.
That's the real world, Chad. That's the real world, no doubt. No doubt about it. Now, you know, historically, when you get people that are fishing derbies in their home states, it's either going to go one of two ways. It's going to go phenomenal or it's going to go horribly wrong. because you're fishing history. I mean, most of the time, yeah, everybody says, yeah, man, you got to fish the moment. You got to dance with who brung you. You got to listen to the fish. But no matter what, you still find yourself fishing historically. I don't care if I'm going out fishing for the weekend at my favorite river or what you're doing, you're still spot fishing. Do you do that or do you have to put it aside?
No, you definitely do that. And I think that's the key, the difference is other places it's seasonal. You know, you got spring, winter, pre-spawn, post-spawn, summer, and the fish change so much. The big advantage coming up north is when we are here, the fish are always in the same positions. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a post-spawn, spawn, and big winter thing. We come here in the summer, so the fish are always in the summer patterns, and they may not be on the exact same places, but when I get an idea of the places they're on, I know another dozen or two dozen places to go hit. So like when I'm out there practicing, I don't need to know everywhere they're at. I just need to get a clue for what, you know, structure they're keying on or what depth they're at. And then if I know that what's going on, I'm like, okay, if I can catch them here, I know they're on these four or five places too. So it allows you to practice a lot more efficiently, cover more water, and get yourself in the right section of the lake. And that's the big thing with smallmouth is you never catch them on the same – I don't want to say never, but a lot of times you catch them where you didn't catch them. But you want to be in the right 2 or 3 mile section and bounce around a lot. You don't want to be running 20 miles here, 20 miles there, waste time, you know, running your engine all day.
They're so elusive, those brown fish.
They are, but they're always there, and they're always biting somewhere. That's why – and if they're there, they're going to bite. That's my theory. I'm giving them 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm moving. You know, I don't waste time with smallmouth. You go find the one that wants to bite.
They're born with a suitcase.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like it.
They're like a bunch of hobos. That's what they are. Hey, now, Chad, I'm a shallow water fisherman. I'm a power fisherman. And I must confess to you that I am deathly afraid of offshore fishing, okay?
Yeah.
Say something to me that can comfort me in my time of fear. That something that can make me more comfortable with offshore fishing. I need some comforting.
Like this, it's just if you find them, they will bite. You know, like the Field of Dreams.
Yes.
If you find them, they will bite.
Wax on, wax off.
All day long, they're biting somewhere. Shallow water fish, you got to like fish a pattern. You got to move around. The deep water structure fish, smallmouth. If you find them, we'll bite somewhere. You need to bounce around a lot. That's why I love it. Like when you figure out the right stuff they're on and you can use your electronics and be specific and make the right cast or the right drop to the right piece of structure, you don't need to cover a lot of water to catch fish. You just put your bait in the right spot and you shake it and you move if they don't bite. It's real simple.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Chad, I got JP and I chase the brown fish on Lake Michigan in Chicago all the time.
Nice.
And in the fall, we've had some of the most amazing days we can have, but you're talking about these grass beds. We don't really have these grass beds here. It's all either rock or silt or, you know, whatever. Right. Just nasty bottom.
Washing
most
machines.
Of the time. Yeah. But we find them often, you know, you could go out there on a Saturday. They're all on this deep stuff, this 20 to 30 foot stuff, and they'll bite. And then the next day it could be the same weather and they're there and they just don't bite. Like, because I agree with what you're saying. You find them and they bite, but only in the fall. Sometimes you're on a giant school of fish. They don't want anything. What do you have any kind of tricks or anything to know how to get these fish to bite when they're just down there? And
it does happen once in a while. We had a bass open on Erie once, and it was like on one deep place, you know, 20, 22 foot of water. I could catch them every drop, whatever I wanted to put down there. You know, it's a 20 to 22 pound place, and the next day I could get the bites. And it was when I opened, you can practice for 5 days. And I came back the day before the tournament, and I was graphing them all over the place, and I could not get one to bite. And just, I actually picked up a big 6-inch flutter spoon after I tried drop shotting and tubing and stuff, snapping a tube, nothing, and picked up a big spoon. And a few hops, I had something pull off, and I thought it was a drum, and then I lost like a 4 pound smallie, and I caught one. And then I cranked bait through the middle of the water column because they were suspended and caught one like that. And after that, I could catch them on my drops again. It was just like ledge fishing. I mean, I have seen it like that, you know, two or three times where there's a school of fish there and they're not firing. And I might waste 4 or 5 minutes with a spoon. If I can trigger one to bite, usually they'll start to fire. But if those fish aren't biting then, I'm going to leave for 30, 40 minutes, hour, whatever it is, hit a handful of other key pieces, and then I'm going to come back an hour or two later. And if it's a change in the wind or something happens where it gets cloudy or sunny, usually it's a change that triggers those same fish to, you know, react and bite.
So you think it's just bite windows then? With the water being colder, they don't bite as often throughout the day, and you just got to find them at the right time?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what you say? Okay.
They're small often. They like sun usually up here, you know, and if it's sunny and calm, I like that because they're getting on the exact stuff. I mean, I don't want to say I don't like Lake St. Clair. I don't like how it fishes, and like probably some of the sand edges and stuff you're talking, I don't like as much because it's not as specific.
Right.
Like those fish are on those ledges, but a lot of times they're living there in the fall getting ready to eat, and they're, like you said, feeding in windows. I like to fish Lake Erie where I got a little gravel pile or a little rock, you know, and I call it like a dinner table. If there's a fish there, it is going to eat. That's right. Why it's there. You know, it makes it a lot easier for me.
You know, Ryan, you got to dance with who you brought.
with who brung you.
With who brung
you. Yeah. Who brung you.
That's where, you know what that's from? That's from that movie Bait Shop. You remember?
Bait Shop, huh?
Yeah, remember that awesome movie Bait Shop? It had Jacob Wheeler was the star, and then Zona and Sanders were in it.
I never saw it.
Maybe heard. I can't say I saw it though.
You got to do it. It's on the DVR.
Is that the one with Billy Ray Cyrus?
Billy Ray Cyrus is a Hot Rod Johnson in that movie. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Miley was very mad at him for that appearance, actually.
Okay.
But it ended up okay. But if you ever see it, do me a favor, Chad. Like, look on demand and look for Bait Shop. And then the kid that's like the little star bass fisherman, he's a dead ringer for Jacob Wheeler.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I bust Wheeler's chops about
no,
him
it.
No,
it's really him.
Oh, it really is?
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, it is Jacob Wheeler. Is yes, yes, America, it is
been
Jacob
confirmed.
Wheeler. Hey, well, let's talk about a couple dirty words in bass fishing, okay? And I know for a fact that you deal with one of these dirty words on, you know, like on Erie and St. Clair all the time, and that's poachers and sight fishermen. I see guys on St. Clair all the time running the bent rod pattern. They come right up to you like they're in Japan or something. It's nuts. How do you deal with that, Chad?
Sightseeing them.
The great thing about what I like to do is it doesn't bother you as much. I mean, like when you're on St. Clair, you're fishing a giant school of fish. If you're going to win on St. Clair, that's what you're targeting. It's a big mega school and maybe as big as a football field. And there's key little areas within the area. And at times, you know, those groups of big ones move around. Those are the people that rod bent pattern. Those are what those people are looking for. When you're on Erie, this stuff is it's so subtle that a lot of people overlook it. Like I could be fishing around 10 or 15 boats and maybe I'm fishing 3 or 4 things that are in between there, like in between those boats. And they may only be as big as a picnic table. And a lot of those guys, they might see your rod bend. They can GPS you, even with electronics. They don't know exactly what they're looking for, and they don't know how to fish it. I mean, it's so dumb. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I've been out, and even when I was younger, in a BFL, and there's 15 boats around. You know, you got some guys that are really good out there, but a lot of guys like to drift and drag, and they don't pay attention to where their waypoints are. Like, your waypoint needs to be exactly on the piece of structure and not where you got the bite. You know, if you're dragging and you got 50 line out, you get a bite, they're marking where their bite is, and they're not marking where the fish actually sits. So you can just zig and zag in between people, and if you know your area well enough, you can just catch fish all day long around people. And there is nothing more satisfying than that, when you know people are watching you fish and you know that they got the information the wrong way, kind of cheating, and you're out there just taking it to them. That's
awesome. You know what you do? Then you just laugh at them, Chad, and then you sell them one of those signature Siri visors. That's what you got to do.
Make a couple bucks. Nice wave. You always got to be polite on the water, but there's nothing wrong if you work hard and you're catching them to. They have a nice smile on your face.
That's very commendable of you, because I've seen some people really flip out there. I've seen it happen.
Hey,
it happens every day. I mean, I hate saying you can't get mad about it, but it happens every day. So you just got to learn to deal with it and get around with it. And I always treat people like I want to be treated. If I'm out there and there's some guys near my stuff, I'll fish around them. I'll try to give them space and, you know, let them fish with their fishing. But, you know, just do what your mom says. Treat people like you want to be treated.
There you go. Excellent.
Is that whole drift and drag thing legal in the Elite Series?
Drift and drag?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You just the way they write it for us is we're not allowed to long line, so we can't let more line out once we make the cast.
Okay.
And so you can drag all you want and drift. You just can't cast out there and open your bail up and let, you know, another 100 feet of line out and drag like that.
Right, right.
Well, okay. Now you can use a 10-foot rod, so you don't even have to worry about that.
You can do whatever you want with that 10-foot rod. I don't think I'll have one of those in my boat. But, you know.
Hey, here's another dirty word that that whether people want to say it or not affects all professional bass fishermen. And those are sponsor whores. And and we see so many of them these days. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, you see it on everywhere from the Facebook bass fishing pro all the way to professional bass anglers, real pros. How does that affect you as a professional angler? How do those type of anglers affect you?
Well, it's tough. You know, it devalues what we're doing. A lot of people do things for free. You know, with that being said, everybody's got to start somewhere. I mean, you don't jump into anything getting a bunch of great deals and getting paid and getting free product. You jump in and proving to people that you can work for them. So initially, you have to go out there and do some of that. I mean, sponsor whore, it is what it is. I mean, we're trying to make a living fishing, so we've got to get paid with the expenses we have. But when you start off, you have to make those contacts and develop those relationships. And the only way to do that is by, you know, getting yourself out there. Maybe you're giving somebody a little logo space, maybe doing a little bit of free video for them for, you know, 6 months or a year, and then they really like you. And, you know, then next year you're getting paid. But you got to grow with people. You don't just show up and make a bunch of money, you know. So it is what it is.
Mountain Dew.
This is our special friend JP High right here.
Oh, I got Yeti in my mountain. I don't sponsor Yeti, but you know.
Yeah. We know what you're saying. He's got, there it is right there. Hey, who would win in a street battle? Ted Nugent or Greg Hackney?
Those are both guys I wouldn't want to be in a street battle with.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, you're a Michigan boy, so I picked Nugent. And then Hackney's just an all-around badass. Who would
win? If they were walking, like, toe-to-toe, I would say Greg Hackney. But if it was, like, street battle with some camouflage and trees and the Nugent could, you know, hide in some bushes and trees, I'd take him all day long.
He'd get all ninja on him.
Are there weapons in this?
Yeah, they both got guns or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, what if the Nugent, like, what if they had their most appropriate weapon? Like, the Nugent has got that, like, black and white guitar he's playing with the damn Yankees.
Yes.
In the front yard doing that solo. And then Hackney's got a flip stick.
Yeah, that would be a tough battle. That would be good. These are realistic questions, you know.
This is serious.
I totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, this is the real deal. Hey, tell me about blade baits. Do you ever fish blade baits out there in Michigan, especially in that cold water?
Yeah, and that's actually what gets really good. And I wish I had my boat now. I actually sell my boat this time of year, but I got buddies that get out there a lot in November, and it is some of the most phenomenal smallmouth fishing. On both Lake St. Clair and Lake Erie, the blade bait bite's just unreal. And those fish feed up in the fall, and the shad moves shallow, and they rip them apart. They get on a lot of the offshore rocks and stuff, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 feet. And when you find them, they're not everywhere, but they just get grouped up so tight, and that blade bait's a great way to catch them.
And what's the most effective way to fish a blade bait? I mean, I know how I do it, but how do you do it?
Yeah, I like to – if you're fishing from vertical, great, but most often it's just – you know, making a three-quarter cast, and you let the bait sink to the bottom, and it's just a slow feather. It's like, I don't know, I'd say maybe 3 o'clock to noon as far as moving the rod tip. You just want to feel the tip vibrate, and you want to make sure that blade's falling on slack line. A lot of people, you want to follow it down in case they bite, but you don't want to follow it down with tight line because the blade bait doesn't have the same action. You know, it sounds simple, but it's just, it doesn't do the same thing if you don't give it slack line.
So. I love that. Yes, it's awesome. That blade bait bite is amazing. Early in the year and late in the year, that window that Ryan Whitaker was talking about, when they're eating the blade, man, they're eating the blade, dude.
Yeah, we might get to play that this year a little bit. And we got a Tennessee, I think, in February. That's a smallie fishery, and I guarantee you there's going to be some fish caught on blade bait then.
Do you Do you find yourself throwing the blade bait on especially when you're around obstructions? Do you find yourself throwing it on heavier line, or do you just break them off?
I'd break them off. I don't do it enough to say, like, this is when I'd use, you know, a finesse approach, and this is when I'd use heavier line. And if I'm throwing a small blade bait, I'm throwing it with, like, a, you know, 12-pound braid and 10-pound leader on just a medium-heavy spinning reel. You know, nothing too fancy.
Gotcha. Hey, we play a little game here called Bass and Roulette, okay? And it's fun. It's fun for the whole family, actually. And what I'm going to do is just throw some phrases at you, some words, okay? And you tell me the first thing that pops in your mind.
Yikes.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, buddy.
We can do this together, Chad. I can't even read my own writing. What the heck is this?
You want me to read it?
No. Bass fishing mecca.
Giant whales.
Giant whales. Excellent. Yeah. Have no idea what you're talking about, but that's phenomenal. The drop shot bait. The drop shot bait.
Darter.
Darter. Okay.
Yeah.
Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank.
Old school.
Yeah, you're my boy, Blue. You're my boy.
I see the
Second chance.
Fourth quarter.
Okay. Yep. How deep is too deep?
Not deep enough.
Not deep. It's not how deep you fish. It's how you wiggle the worm. You know what I'm saying, Chad?
Yeah, I like deep, man. I'm a deep. I like to stay off the damn bank.
You got
to
dance with who brung you.
You got to dance with who brung you, and you got to go deep in the fourth quarter. There's no Cabe Duda.
Mountain Dew.
Yes.
California 420.
Ooh. I probably shouldn't say anything, should I? I don't know.
That's an excellent bait color. That's a great color of baits, California 420.
Very true. Sprayed grass.
Sprayed grass. There it is. That's the deal. That's the deal right there. Hey, what do you got worked up for 2017? What should we expect from Chad Pipkins?
I'm excited, man. It's gonna be a good year. I've got to make some new changes. I got some great sponsor people, and I got some new people on board that I'll be talking with after the new year. I'm pretty pumped up about, and schedule-wise, it's right in my wheelhouse. We end with three smallmouth places.
Yes.
Start with a smallmouth place, and there's not many times when you look at a season schedule, you know, it's so hard to win, but this is one of the years where I look at, you know, I'm like, I feel like I got a good chance, you know, prior to getting to the lake. I mean, if I work hard, you know, it could happen, and I'm pumped up about it. I feel like it's going to be my year. I'm coming off the worst year I've ever had, but I'm also coming off a year where I really feel like I learned the most. I mean, I got my butt kicked a lot this year. I made some poor decisions and just didn't adapt and change quick enough. And I'm excited about the things I learned and some of the places on the schedule. I'm going to make it work next year.
You're going to go deep in the fourth quarter.
Deep in the fourth quarter and just going to get after it.
Hey, give a shout out to some of those sponsors. This is your time. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah.
I got to thank the people at Douglas J for helping me out with my hair.
Yeah.
Hook. I got some great people at Zamiki and Paul Roz and Sunline, and it's going to be exciting next year. I'm pretty pumped up.
Nice.
I'll be announcing some new stuff soon.
Chad, you are a blessed man. You're very fortunate to be able to make a living at this sport that we all love so much, dude. Keep up your good work.
I appreciate it, man. We're getting there, and thanks for having me on here, and hopefully we'll get back here again. I can tell you about how we win the tournament next year, man.
Yeah, we want to hear it. Hey, thanks again so much for coming on. Tell all your buddies about Stray Cast, would you?
I'll get it rolling. You guys are a pretty good looking crowd. You got some ruggedness with you, some wild hair, and I like it.
It's a mix of maniacy. That's all it is.
That's a first.
Take care. See you, Chad. Chad Pipkins, Bassmaster Elite Series Touring Professional, right here on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. I'm Pat Remwick. Don't go nowhere. When we get back, Davey Height on the Bass Bus.
I'm John DeMay with Them Jigs. Today, I'd like to share with you a little bit about a couple products that we have in our lineup that we're really excited about. The first product I'd like to talk to you about today is the Joe Football Head Jig. Right out of the package, you'll notice that our football head jig is different than most on the market. What makes our jigs different is the quality of components. Let's start with the hook. These hooks are custom made for us in Japan. 90 degree bend, black nickel hooks, razor sharp, JDM quality. All of our Joe Football Head jigs have living rubber skirts. They're hand tied with copper wire to ensure that they stay affixed, and it also helps them to flare while they're in the water. We powder paint and heat cure each jig to ensure that the paint stays on your jig even when you're fishing rock. Another feature that separates our jig from other jigs on the market is the screw lock keeper. The screw lock keeper does a couple things for you. Not only does it keep your bait affixed, it'll save you money on soft plastics that pull off of standard barb keepers. The second product I'd like to talk to you about is our hybrid flip and swim jig. We also have a custom hook in our flip and swim jig. It's a 4-aught 30 degree bend black nickel hook. It has the same durable paint, the same great keeper, and a hand-tied silicone skirt to complete it. So if you're looking for a premium product that's going to give you an edge over your competition, look us up at demjigs.com.
Welcome back, Straight Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television, the Bass Buzz. We're rocking steady with Mr. Steady himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to bring to you the one and only Davey Heights. Yeah. What's up, Davey?
Oh, man, it's great to be with you guys.
Oh, man, it's great to have you, Davey. I mean, you know, right now you're kind of at a turning point of your career. You're at a transition. This is the new building block of the new and improved Davey Height coming at you right now. And I love the word
transition, because it truly is. And you know, the biggest thing that comes to mind is, what do you do when you retire from fishing for a living? You know, do you play golf? Go get a real job. What do you do? I couldn't have drawn up a better scenario than to be able to work with Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and the folks there at JM. It's just an awesome opportunity to continue to work in the sport and have a positive impact in the sport.
Absolutely. Now, let's put things into perspective here for your fans and our viewers. Now, we know, and most of the viewers out there, most of your fans know what you have accomplished over your 23-year career. But why don't you give us a little brief summary of the major accomplishments of your career? And if you miss any, I'm going to let you know, Davey. I know you're humble, but do it.
Well, you know, I really don't like to go there. You know, all I'm going to say is, more than I ever dreamed. And that is a true statement. I dreamed to be able to make a Bassmaster Classic since the time I was 12 years old, and that's a true statement. And to do those other things, and to make a living and support my family, and you know, it's just been a dream come true. And you know, the thing I want to relate to everybody, you know, we've got so many young fishermen coming up, the high school level, the high school teams, the college teams, and everything. You know, I didn't have a 21-foot bass boat totally rigged out. You know, when I was a kid coming up, I fished out of an aluminum boat with a dream, and you know, all I can say about my accomplishments, they've been far greater than anything I ever expected.
Well, outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. And you, I mean, you have really, I'm going to lay it out there just in case people don't know, because damn it, you should be proud, Davey, as I know you are, but you're a 2-time Angler of the Year. You won the 99 Classic. You won the 98 FLW Championship. You got 8 first place, 140 times in the money, 45 top tens, 14 classics. What did I leave out? He's won $4 zillion.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
How many pounds has he caught?
Yeah, you know, you want to know how many pounds of bass you have caught in your BASS career?
3 million.
Well, it's been a lot of pounds, and I think Wolfram's one of them. But when you carry the bag up there and you've got as much water in the bag as you do pounds, so I feel like I've caught like 1 million pounds, because I've carried 500,000 bags of water. pounds of water up there to the scales.
I'm going to let JP High tell you how many. There's how many pounds he's caught right there. Tell him.
9,400.
9,400 something pounds of bass.
A lot. I don't know. I can't read his writing.
Yeah, nobody can read my writing, but that's outstanding.
Hey, Davey, can I test you on something real quick here?
Uh-oh.
While we're on this topic?
Uh-oh.
Are you up for a little trivia challenge?
You betcha.
Okay. So you are one of nine guys that have done something that I consider to be the most impressive thing in fishing. You're one of nine guys that have won the Bassmaster Classic and won an Angler of the Year, and you got two of them. Can you name the other eight?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. You said here. Eight. Come on now.
There was nine, but geez, minus you.
I didn't know I was going to have a pop quiz or not. Classic and Angler of the Year. Let's say Denny Brower.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin Van Dam, obviously, he's won lots of them. Mark Davis.
Yes.
He's nailing it. Iaconelli.
Killing it.
Hold on. I got to think just a little bit.
Got to go back a little.
Swindle, because he just won Angler of the Year, but he hadn't quite done that yet. But he will. I could think of him a little bit. Hank Parker.
Nope.
Nixon.
Wait.
Nixon didn't win a class.
We may have left Hank out of that list. I may have messed up.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, this thing is defrauded now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, you didn't win the prize, though. You got a straight cast sticker coming at you.
The other ones I got here are Guido, David Fritz, Jay Yellis, Skeet Reese. But I think Hank Parker got it, too.
Hey, right. Hey, real
quick. We messed
up.
Sorry.
Real quick, you know, when I dreamed of being a professional bass fisherman in the state of South Carolina, there was not another, you know, full-time professional fisherman. And I got to know Guido Hibden, you know, long story short. And, you know, he really helped me decide whether I wanted to quit a full-time job to pursue my dreams. And it was very encouraging. He's been, you know, he's had some serious health issues recently, and all I'm gonna say is God, I love him, and you know, owe a lot. He just gave me the confidence to pursue my dream, and you know, he's struggling right now, and you know, I just want to say right here with you guys, I love him. I mean, he's a mentor in this sport.
Absolutely, Guido.
Yeah,
awesome.
We're pulling for him, man. Yeah, and that whole family, you know, that whole a bass fan. It's one of the biggest families in bass fishing, for sure. One of the most influential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
For sure. Hey, let's move back to your transition here, Davey. Now, we've been enjoying watching you on Bass Live. I mean, you're a great asset to that whole deal. We talked a little bit on the phone about that, and you seem very comfortable. Are you very comfortable, or is it something you got to work at, or is it just happening for you?
Well, I've told several people that I knew from the time I was 12 years old that I want to be a professional bass fisherman. I never thought about being in the media, being a co-host of the show, working with, you know, guys as great as, you know, Mark Zone and Tommy Sanders until like 3 years ago. And I started doing a little deal called First Look. And talking to guys, and I love it. You know, I really like the passion and emotion. You know, it's, you know, from Jordan Lee, you know, he had a heck of a year this year. He's a young guy. And I could feel myself, you know, 20 years ago being Jordan Lee, and Edwin Evers winning the Classic, and he's such a hard worker, a great fisherman, but to finally get that Classic trophy. You know, I just fell in love with doing what I was doing, and you know, I thank the folks at Bass for giving me opportunity to transition into this, because you know, I've got a passion about it right now, almost like I did, you know, when I was 12 years old wanting to be a professional fisherman.
That's great, and it's a natural fit, because we're actually getting a point of view from a tournament angler that understands what is happening out there. I mean, Sanders and Zona are extremely talented, but you lived the life of a professional bass tournament angler. So you're able to give some insight that maybe these guys might overlook, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, I appreciate that more than you know, but, you know, I totally think that Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona could do Monday Night Football. I mean, they're professionals at what they do.
Well, they, well
I hope that I can just bring, I can bring in, you know, been there, done that. I was a rookie. I've zeroed in a classic. I've won a classic. I've done all those things. So I just hope I can be a helping hand.
No, I wish they would do Monday Night Football. It'd be a lot better.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. I would love to have them. Or instead of Joe Buck, we get Sanders and Zona on there.
Yeah, or what? We Aikman or what?
Yeah. But you know what?
Somebody with less concussions.
We had Jerry on last week. Jerry McInnes was on last week, and he had nothing but praise to say about you, but he said Sanders was a sissy and Zona had no credibility. So it sounds like you're the shining star of the new group, Davey.
Well, you know, I hope so. And there again, you know, Jerry McInnes, I mean, he's an icon of sport. I mean, I have so much respect for him. It's unbelievable. I actually called him after I saw the quote that he said in the press release about me being a natural, just talking to guys. I mean, that meant so much to me because, you know, he is the face of television in our sport. You know, the fishing hole, the show, you know, all that he's done for 40 years. And you know, it's just, I can't even describe how much it meant to me for Jerry to say those kind words.
Yeah, what a true gem of the
He
sport.
Really said that. That's a fact.
Yeah, no.
Except he called he called Sanders a sissy and Zona a bozo.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry speaks his mind. You know that. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, when I called Jerry to thank him for those kind words, you know, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And I said, you know, Jerry, you don't always say kind words. You might not say anything if you don't have kind words to say. But when you say something, I know you mean it. You know, we're friends, but you don't say things that you don't mean. It meant so much, but. You know, he can clown around with Zona and Sanders. You know,
sure.
They're around one of those all the time.
Oh yeah, and he said something that really stuck that stuck in my brain is he said, Pat, everything happens for a reason. Everything in life happens for a reason, and this transition in your life is obviously happening for a reason, and I believe for the best.
What I truly want to do, and I mean this, I want to make a positive impact beyond 51 years old. And I think this is the best opportunity I could have ever been given to make a positive impact on the sport. You know, I still, you know, I just a few weeks ago went and talked to a high school team, you know, at a local high school gymnasium. And, you know, I see the twinkle in those guys' eyes. And I had the same twinkle in my eyes then. We didn't have high school bass fishing teams in, but you know, I just see that in those folks. And you know, I've been tournament fishing for a long time, and you know, it's just a great transition, and I think I can do a lot of positive things for the sport and maybe make an impact on a few young guys' lives.
I'm
and
sure.
Gals too. I mean, there's a lot of good female fishermen now. It sure is.
Fisher people, that covers everything.
Yeah.
Fisher people. Hey, let's go back in the time machine here, okay? Let's go back to the 99 Classic. And I remember, I mean, what a great classic that was. And everybody remembers Davey Height winning the 99 Classic. But something I thought was really cool about that 99 Classic, first of all, that spot was awesome that you happened to found and the story behind it. But you were swimming a plastic bait. Most people were flipping, you know, but you were actually flipping in and swimming it out. Now, since then, lots of people swim a jig. That's been happening a lot for years now, you know, but not many people are swimming plastics anymore. Do you still do that,
Especially
baby?
Not a creature bait. Either.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I still do it now, but you're right. Including myself, not many people did that. You know, I don't know how many people swam a jig in 99, seriously, not as many as they do now.
Right.
But it was all about being dialed into an area and just trying to figure out the pattern of the fish. And, you know, I just, I figured out two key things. The fish wanted a bait that was moving fast, and they also were really high up in the water column, even though the water temperature was 94 degrees. And I'm seriously, the surface temperature was 94
degrees.
Yeah,
they were baking back there.
So those two things I figured out, and you know, but they would not bite anything on top. I threw a buzz bait. I threw poppers. I threw prop baits, all those things. And you know, when you win the world championship, by gosh, you should have to figure some things out. You know?
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Shouldn't be easy.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah, I got all dialed in that tournament.
Davey, I got a question I've been wanting to ask you since 1999, and it never ran into you, so I'm going to ask you now. About that, when you were rolling into Bayou Black, correct? On
It was a little place not far from there, not exactly Bayou Black, but
okay. Well, when you were
that a secret, you know.
When you were coming in there on day two, and you started seeing all these dead fish, how long were you going to give that spot without a bite before you left? I mean, you were saying there was like 30, 40 dead fish floating around, and they had sprayed the area. I mean, it's amazing that you were able to stay and actually fish that spot. I don't think I would have had confidence in more than 5 casts in that area after seeing a bunch of dead fish floating around, you know?
You know, that's a great question. I was devastated when I saw, you know, not just dead fish, they were dead bass, along with some other fish. And I was devastated. But, you know, it's kind of been a good and bad part of me and the way I fish. You know, I swing for defense, and, you know, you kind of get tired of hearing that from some guys when they don't catch anything. And when I don't catch anything, I say that. But really and truly, in that classic, you know, I was all in on that spot, that area. And, you know, I turned to my press observer and I said, you know, this is the only place that I know in New Orleans that I can win the Bassmaster Classic. There's got to be some fish that are still alive here and that I can get to bite. And, you know, I just stuck with it. You know, and sometimes that turns around and bites you, but it worked out there. I just hung in there, and they weren't all day, thank goodness.
And sometimes you win by 9 pounds.
Yeah, and sometimes you just blow it out of the water.
You know, Davey, you got to dance with who brought you.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, 100%.
That's exactly it. Hey, all right, we're going to jump up now to the next year, 2000. And I've talked to you before about this, Davey, but one of my favorite bass fishing tournaments ever covered was the 2000 FLW tour on the Mississippi River. And yeah. I mean, to me, if I think of a televised bass fishing tournament, you got the superstars in this. There's you, there's Klun, there's Klein, there's the late Ken Cook, God rest his soul. What a phenomenal piece of television history for bass fishing. And I will never forget you back in that marina just wrecking them, throwing that spinnerbait back in that marina. Tell us your memories about that derby, would you?
Well, you know, I don't know how much time we have. I'm going to try to make this short. But I had a roommate back then named Clark Winland, which is obviously a phenomenal fisherman.
Yes.
And he and I kind of came into the scene together about the same time. And he was leading Angler of the Year at that point. And I was just fishing. I wasn't even fishing the whole trail in FLWs at that point. And I wanted to help Clark. And the water was really low on the Mississippi River. And there was only a few backwaters you could get in that were anywhere that anybody with any sense would try to go to. And the one that everybody was saying that would be the long run for the brave guys was 110 miles away from takeoff.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the map, and I told Clark, I said, well, if you're going to win Angler of the Year, we need to go farther than this. And it turns out we went to a backwater that was 180 miles one way.
Wow.
Away. We drove to it the last morning. I had the idea the night before the last day of practice. And we drove to it the next morning. It took us 3.5 hours by car or truck to get there. And we made the truce. If we can't catch 20 pounds in this area in the first 2 hours that we're there, there's no way you can go there. And it was, you know, it was like, we're not going to do this. It's not going. And we both caught over 20 pounds in the first hour and a half. And I remember to this day calling my wife at lunchtime when we left And I said, I'm crazy if I do this. I'm crazy if I don't. You know, Clark and I are going to go down there. And we did, and it worked out. The fishing was phenomenal. It was, a lot of driving up and down the river with my Evan Rude, and Clark's running Evan Rude also. A long way. We'd never run that river stretch. This was before GPS was even very decent.
Right.
We were following river maps. But the fishing was phenomenal. It's power fishing, and you know it's certainly one of the tournaments that I'll always remember and always be proud of. You know, making the decision, do what we did.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but that recently became available on YouTube. So if you ever want to relive that, you can watch yourself throwing that spinnerbait amongst that shad spawn in that marina.
It was awesome. And, you know, that was when FLW allowed you to carry extra gas in the boats. And, honestly, it was the craziest takeoff I've ever seen that first morning. There were guys that have 30 and 40 gallons of fuel in, like, 5 and 10-gallon containers strapped on their front deck.
That's nuts.
You know, just crazy. I mean, just bombs waiting to explode. Yeah.
I remember Klun telling me that he'd made runs in more dangerous water, but because of the length of that run with the barge traffic, that it was just a whole other factor in there, man.
It was, and he was only going about as half as far as Blockett and Clark and I were. Yep.
Well, awesome. Hey, we're right up against the break right here. Davey, you want to stick around while we pay a quick bill, and we'll come back and have some more fun?
Absolutely, guys.
All right, thanks. Hey, keep it locked right here. I'm Pat Remwick. More Davey Height on the Bass Buzz when we get back. PH Custom Lures by Phil Hunt are quickly becoming the most sought-after custom balsa baits in the industry, from the Little Hunter to the Squeaky Pea. These baits are pure quality, handcrafted, hand-carved, and hand-painted. But most importantly, they flat-out catch fish. PH Custom Lures has a bait for any situation in a magnitude of colors. Check out the Old School, Straighter, and PH Custom series at phcustomlures.com. That's phcustomlures.com.